This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The sweet smell of success is blowing out of the Texas sagebrush for Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Here with the latest on the Texas primary election returns is correspondent Neil Strausser in the CBS News election headquarters.
The percentage of precincts reporting in the Republican primary has now amounted beyond 50%, but the delegate total remains the same. Ronald Reagan leading in the race for all 96 Republican delegates, President Ford in none. Former Texas Governor John Connally, who remained neutral in the contest, called it startling, but Connally cited long cultivation by Reagan.
Over the last 12 years, Governor Reagan has built a very solid base of support down at the precinct level in Texas. He's crossed and crisscrossed this state many, many times. He's built a wealth of strength and a personal recognition that's paying off, frankly, and he had a lot of enormously dedicated and effective workers.
Ford aides blamed crossover votes by George Wallace supporters, but Reagan piled up strength even in non-Wallace areas. Jimmy Carter also mounted a strong statewide showing against a Lloyd Benson delegate slate and now leads for 90 of the 98 Democratic delegates being elected. Neil Strausser, CBS News, election headquarters.
More news, politics, and other developments in a moment.
We're the fresh guys, we're the fresh guys, we're the fresh guys, we're Wonder Bread. We got that fresh, fresh feeling that makes a bread perform. Cause we're the Wonder Fresh guys, we wrap while we're still warm. It's that fresh, fresh feeling that makes a sandwich gar. Cause we're the Wonder Fresh guys, come twice us at the store.
Feel the freshness of Wonder Bread. Enjoy fresh-tasting Wonder English muffins, too.
Hi, this is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. Join me and get on a winning team, because it's only through research that a breakthrough can be made. Throw your knockout punch against leukemia. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Our thanks to you for Project Research.
The Louisiana primary now appears to be boiling down to a neck-and-neck race between delegates committed to Jimmy Carter and an uncommitted slate running under the banner of Governor Edwin Edwards. Alabama Governor George Wallace, who carried Louisiana as a third-party presidential candidate in 1968, is running a distant third. About half of the votes now have been tallied. Carter delegates lead in races for 13 delegate positions. Edwards' uncommitted delegates lead in 12 races, while Wallace delegates lead in 7. Kansas picked most of its delegation to the Democratic National Convention in a series of Saturday conventions. We get that story from Lee Gregory of CBS Radio Topeka affiliate WIBW.
Kansas Democrats met its 5 district conventions to elect delegates to the Democratic National Convention. As expected, former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter came out on top. Many Democrats made many phone calls Friday trying to convince uncommitted delegates to throw their support to Carter, arguing that Jackson and Humphrey are out of it and Carter's nomination is assured. That argument was apparently not effective. Tallying up the results of the 5 conventions, Jimmy Carter won the most delegates, 13. Congressman Morris Udall picked up 2. Jackson picked up 1. And 11 uncommitted delegates were elected statewide. In all, 27 delegates to the national convention were chosen. 7 more will be picked at the state Democratic convention in Topeka, June 5th. Lee Gregory for CBS News, Topeka, Kansas.
Republicans in Maine chose 20 officially uncommitted delegates to the GOP National Convention, but unofficially, 13 say they're solidly behind President Ford, 2 say they're leaning toward Mr. Ford, 4 delegates support Reagan, while only 1 says he's truly uncommitted. Conservative Air Force General Carlos Galvao de Melo Saturday night declared himself a candidate for Portugal's presidential elections this summer. The general criticized what he called party manipulation underway to impose a single candidate for the presidency. CBS News continues following this.
This is John Cameron Swayze with a 2020 Eye Drops report. Item, in this election year, many Americans are watching more television than ever before. And all this TV viewing can sometimes leave eyes feeling tired and red. Item, 2020 eye drops are the only eye drops guaranteed. Complete satisfaction is guaranteed, or your money will be refunded by simply returning the bottle. Just read the label. This is John Cameron Swayze reminding TV watchers everywhere to try 2020 eye drops, the guaranteed solution.
I'm George Herman, CBS News. On the campaign trail for primary elections this Tuesday, May 4th, in George Wallace's home state of Alabama and Jimmy Carter's Georgia, plus Indiana and the District of Columbia. Tuesday night, I'll anchor CBS News coverage on the CBS radio network with special reports, updates on hourly newscasts, and of course, net alert bulletins when developments or trends warrant. Follow the results of the primaries Tuesday night with CBS News on most of these CBS radio network stations. Talks are at a standstill in the strike that has idled some 14,000 Teamsters employees of United Parcel Service in 13 Midwest and Rocky Mountain states. No further negotiations scheduled until Tuesday. The weekend effort in San Francisco focuses on achieving at least a temporary solution to the city's two-week-old strike by trades unions. Labor leaders reportedly are split over a proposal to allow workers to return to work while a fact-finding committee works. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, and the time is 10:06.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. Our story is concerned with fear. What is fear? We know its symptoms, the chilled blood, shortened breath, but what is the emotion itself, and where does it come from? Well, it is the anticipation of something that has not yet happened. It is the alarm our bodies set up to tell us we're about to be injured. All we really know is that the thing to be feared is not now. It's around the corner. Fear is the voice that says, watch out.
The worst thing that can happen to you is to be born.
Believe me. There you are inside your mother where it's dark and warm and safe. Then all of a sudden, she decides she's had enough of you. She starts to get rid of you. No matter what you do, and of course there's nothing you can do, you don't even know what's happening. You're pushed out. Out into the cold, into the light, into the noise and clamor and chaos of living. And you never get over it. Never.
Mystery drama, Fear, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Jack Grimes. It is sponsored in part by Allied Van Lines and Time Magazine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buick, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
There I was with my new Buick Skylark, and there he was, just coming out of the store with a new coffee table. I like your coffee table, I said. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, he said. I like your Buick Skylark, too. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, I answered. Then he suggested, listen, you like my coffee table and I like your Skylark. Why don't we get married? What can I say? I guess it was love at first, Buick.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad
dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Electrical appliances are extremely useful time-saving aids, but without proper precautions, they can be instruments of destruction. In fact, government statistics show that 80% of all electrical appliance accidents are due to carelessness. Underwriters Laboratories consumer safety expert Janice Farr says there's an easy way you can help avoid contributing to that 80%.
That's right. I strongly recommend that you read and heed your appliance instruction booklets. Most booklets contain valuable safety tips, such as recommending that you unplug your portable appliance from the outlet when not in use, and that you not let the cord hang over the edge of a table or counter, or touch hot surfaces.
And to be extra safe,
it's a good idea to keep your instruction booklets in a convenient place for quick and easy reference. Remember, the instruction booklet is there, so why not use it?
This has been a public service announcement from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
No one lives, has lived, or will ever live without fear. The rich, the powerful, the elite, you think they don't feel fear? I think they feel it constantly, because they are constantly on guard lest they be toppled from their positions. Well, the hero of this story occupies no such position. He is an obscure bank teller, close to middle age, and his name is Edgar Ellerby. But he, too, like the rest of us, is haunted by fear.
I've been afraid all my life.
Of what?
Of everything. And I mean everything. When I was little and in school, I was afraid the teacher would call on me and I wouldn't know the answer. If I knew it one time, I was sure I wouldn't know it the next. If I asked a girl for a date and she turned me down, I was scared to death there was something repulsive about me that I didn't know about and couldn't correct. If she accepted, I was sure there was something awful about her. Even now, I can't mail a letter without worrying that I've forgotten to put a stamp on it or gotten the zip code wrong. You'll wonder why I became a bank teller. Well, there was something about having to account for money at the end of every single day. You can't go home unless you balanced everything out. I thought that would be a calming influence. Going home every day knowing that it had all come out even and I was in the clear. And then one day it happened. I think I'm short.
We all know you're short, Eddie. You just finding it out?
I mean short my cash.
How much, Eddie?
$90.
Oh, you're gonna catch it. God, don't be like that, Hilda. It can happen to anybody.
It's never happened to me.
You want me to count it up for you, Eddie?
Oh, Mary Lou, would you? I've been over it so many times.
Watch it. Here comes old Topper. Wait until he goes in and was off the...
Right, right.
Wouldn't do to have the manager find out you can't add.
I'm tired, that's all.
Just shut up, Hilda. Good afternoon, Mr. Tupper.
Miss Grant?
Mr. Tupper?
Step into my office, would you, Ellerby?
Now, Mr. Tupper?
Right now.
Afternoon, Mr. Tupper.
Good afternoon, Miss Schwartz.
What do you suppose he wants?
He couldn't have found out I'm short in my cash.
Of course not.
I just found out myself.
Bad news travels fast. Oh, Hilda, don't be so dumb.
This is the first time he's asked to see me about anything.
Eddie, maybe it's about a promotion. Did you ever think of that?
You think it could be?
Well, you've been going to school. Oh, sure. He's going to make you a vice president with a great big desk up front.
My grades aren't even in yet.
Well, don't worry till you know.
And don't keep him waiting.
That's one thing bank managers don't care for, being kept waiting. You run along, Eddie, and then come back and tell us. And good luck.
Come in. Yes, come in, Ellerby.
Thank you, sir.
Take a chair, Ellerby. This is Detective Bradshaw. Bradshaw, this is Edgar Ellerby.
Hello, Ellerby.
Detective Bradshaw. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah, sit down, Ellerby.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, I suppose you're wondering why Detective Bradshaw's here.
I'm wondering why I'm here.
Well, I'll come straight to the point. One of our branches was held up this noon.
What? Held up?
The one over by the river.
That's terrible.
Fella got away with $8,000.
Gee, that makes me feel terrible.
It happened about 12:15.
12:15? Gee, well, that's terrible.
Guy walks up to one of the tellers, says, hand it over. Teller hands it over. Guy walks out. Over, done with. Like that.
That's awful.
Where were you at that time, Ellerby?
Well, me? Why, I was here. Oh, no, no, wait. You said 12:15?
That's right.
Oh, I was on my lunch hour. That's my lunch hour, 12 to 1.
Do you mind telling us where you ate lunch? Which restaurant?
Well, I don't eat in restaurants. I eat... Well, I mean, I bring my own lunch in a lunchbox, you know, sandwich, a piece of fruit, and...
Where do you eat it?
Well, sometimes in the park, but sometimes I eat it here.
Where did you eat it today?
Today it was so hot. Today I didn't eat in the park. I ate down by the river.
Uh-huh.
But nowhere near the bank. Nowhere near, but blocks from where that branch is. Blocks from there.
Mm-hmm. Anybody see you?
Well, somebody must have.
Who?
Well, somebody. I went right down to the riverbank. I wanted to catch a breeze off the river if I could. I remember I thought of going out on one of the piers, but they were unloading a boat, so I didn't. I just sat down on the bank.
So the guys unloading the boat didn't see you?
Well, they might have noticed me. They might have. Of course, they were pretty busy, but they... look, you don't think... You couldn't possibly think, or you... Well, you couldn't think that I... No, you couldn't think that.
We are not thinking anything right at the moment.
Yeah, but you must have a reason. I mean, why ask me where I was? I mean, why me especially?
Well, we have a reason for that. You see, we have it on film.
What on film?
The holder. The monitors are running all the time, Ellerby. Now, you know that.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, it's all there. The hold-up man shows up very clear.
Oh, you think I might know him?
Why don't we roll the film, Mr. Tupper? I can set up right here, if that's all right.
Sure. And while you're doing that, I'm going to get a couple of other people in here who might help with the identification.
Go right ahead.
Back in a second.
Who did he go to get?
I don't know exactly.
Do you need any help with that equipment?
No, thanks. I'm pretty used to it.
Oh. You specialize in bank holdups?
They're part of my job. Not all of it, just part.
I see. Well, interesting work, I imagine.
Hmm. How long have you worked for the bank, Ellerby?
Oh, a long, long time. 12 years.
Here? This branch?
No, I started downtown 5.5 years there. Then I came uptown.
This branch?
No, the river branch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I left there 2 years ago and came over here.
Well, still, you must know it pretty well, the river branch.
I haven't been inside it since they moved me over here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Mr. Tupper said he was going to get some people who might help to identify the thief. Now, why would anybody in this branch be able to identify a thief in the river branch?
I might as well tell you, Ellerby. On the film, the hold-up man looks like you.
You're kidding.
I never kid.
Ed, go right in, girls.
Okay.
Now, everybody, take chairs.
Eddie? What's this about?
Mary Lou, this is Detective Bradshaw, girls. Miss Grant, Miss Schwartz.
From the police?
Well, I'll stand up in the back here. Detective Bradshaw is going to show us a piece of film taken from one of the monitors at our river branch. Now, there was a hold-up there today, 12:15, and it's all on film. Now, it only runs about a minute. You'll see the whole thing. The hold-up man shows up very clearly, so pay close attention and see if you recognize him. Detective Bradshaw can stop the film at any point. If you want it to run over again, you just say so. Now, you understand?
Yes, Mr. Tupper.
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess we're ready, Detective. Pay attention now.
Oh, my. Look at that. Oh, stop. Stop the picture.
You recognize somebody?
Can you go back?
Sure. Here we go again.
It's Eddie.
Hilda! Eddie, it's you!
You're sure, Miss Schwartz?
I'd know him anywhere. Mary Lou!
I'd like to see it again.
Okay.
It's plain as anything. It's Eddie.
I want to see it again.
Here we go.
Plain as day.
Shut up, Hilda. No, would you stop it, please? That's not Eddie.
How can you say that?
Eddie's not that tall.
How's that?
You can see that man's shoulders over the top of the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it was Eddie, you wouldn't be able to. You'd just see his head and his neck.
Well, how do you know all this, Miss Grant?
Well, Mr. Ellerby is 5'1½" tall. And the counter is 4'4" high. So, standing at the counter, you'd see only as far as his shoulders. You wouldn't see his shoulders at all.
What's your height, Ellerby?
5'1½".
You won't mind if I check that later?
No, not at all.
And of course, I'll check the counter, too.
Yeah, of course.
All right, folks. All right, that's all.
I'd like to say something else, Mr. Tupper.
That is all, Miss Grant.
Anybody who thinks that Mr. Ellerby would rob a bank is crazy.
Miss Grant, we are just investigating possibilities.
Well, Mr. Ellerby is not a possibility. It's not possible for Edgar Ellerby to be a thief or a liar or anything like that. Mr. Ellerby is honest and sincere and kind and good. Wonderful man.
All right.
Wonderful
now.
Man. Wonderful.
I just sat there. I couldn't believe what had happened. And I couldn't believe what was happening. I couldn't believe that a man who looked like me had robbed a bank and taken $8,000. I couldn't believe that a camera had taken a picture of the whole thing. And I couldn't believe that Mary Lou Grant thought I was a wonderful man.
One of the most fearful sensations is that of being trapped. In fact, I think it should be put at the head of the list. Illness is frightening. Natural disasters are frightening. The unknown can be frightening. But to be caught in a snare, to be ambushed, that may well be the most frightening thing of all. I'll be back in a few moments with Act Two.
Fletcher Whitney Jr.
Karen Sue Butler.
It's been
a long time, Karen.
And look at you.
Look at me.
Look at you.
Look at me.
The car, the chauffeur, the clothes.
The private jet, the bill in Rome. I'm just Bonissimo Allegro, as they say.
Oh, in school you used to be.
I know.
And now look at me. Fletcher, what changed you?
Ever hear of Time Magazine, Karen?
You own Time Magazine?
No.
You're the editor?
No.
You sell?
No, I read Time Magazine, Karen.
What, Fletcher?
Every week, without fail. Every word from books to business, science to cinema. Now the world is my clan.
Time changed you?
See, I learned more than what's happening, Karen. I learned wit and charm. And soon I was the hit of the jet set. Then came the job offers, the stocks, the bonds, the phone calls from the White House. I was Mondo Buffo, as they say.
Well, Fletcher, you certainly have changed.
Yes. In fact, I'm surprised you recognize me, Karen.
You're still the only man I know who carries a teddy bear.
Oh, wave hi to Karen, Sparky.
Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
This great big land, there's a neighbor who is ready to lend a helping hand. When a hurricane is brewing, when an old man needs a friend, where there's suffering, where there's trouble, there's a friend you can depend on. From Maine to Mauna Loa, all across this great big land, there's a neighbor who is ready. Friend you can depend on. Red Cross is the good neighbor.
Edgar Ellerby has come under suspicion of robbing the bank for which he works, though at a different branch. The bank manager, a police detective, and two of Edgar's fellow tellers watched while a film of the holdup was run off. There was no doubt that the thief uncannily resembled Edgar. So said Hilda Schwartz. But Mary Lou Grant quickly and dramatically, indeed passionately, pointed out that the film showed a man visibly taller than Edgar.
Mr. Ellerby is 5'1.5" tall. The counter is 4'4" tall. So standing at the counter, you'd see only as far as his shoulders. You wouldn't see his shoulders at all. You'd only see his head and his neck.
What's your height, Ellerby?
5'1.5".
You won't mind if I check on that?
Not at all.
Anybody who thinks Eddie Ellerby would rob a bank is crazy. Mr. Ellerby is honest and sincere and kind and good and a wonderful man. And
that will be all, Miss Grant.
A wonderful man, wonderful.
Mary Lou had tears in her eyes when she and Hilda and I left Mr. Tupper's office. It was the first time in my life that I'd been in trouble of any kind. And it was the first time in my life anyone had shed tears because of me.
Don't worry, Eddie. It'll all come out all right.
I hope so.
Believe me.
I'll try.
You got to admit, the man on the film looks like you.
I know.
He looks exactly like you.
I know.
Same nose, same eyes, same upper lip.
Hilda, you know Eddie didn't do it.
Then it was his doppelganger.
His what?
His doppelganger. His double.
I've got a double?
Everybody has. Didn't you know that? Sometimes it's a ghost.
Well, a ghost wouldn't hold up a bank.
How do you know what a ghost would do?
Well, I guess I don't.
Sometimes the ghost doesn't just look like the human double. He sounds like him, too.
Well, the film doesn't record the sound, just the picture. But the teller at the river branch might remember the voice.
And it might turn out to be your voice, Eddie.
Oh, shut up, Hilda.
Sometimes people see their own doppelgangers. Scary, huh?
Very scary.
But you can't get away from the fact that the hold-up man was taller than Eddie. 2 or 3 inches taller.
Sometimes doppelgangers float above the ground. Didn't you know?
Why is that?
Because they're ghosts, little man. Well, I'm going home. It's been quite a day. So long, everybody.
Goodbye, Hilda.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Probably.
What does she mean, probably?
Oh, Eddie.
Does she think I'll be arrested? Does she think I'll be in jail?
Of course not.
Then what? What does she think?
Never mind what Hilda thinks. Listen, Eddie.
Hmm?
I found the $90.
What $90?
The $90 you were short. It was a mistake in a deposit slip.
Oh, I should have caught it.
Never mind, I caught it.
Oh, Mary Lou, what...
Eddie, I don't think that you should be alone tonight. Why don't we have dinner together? Wouldn't that be a good idea?
I guess it would at that.
Do you want to come to my place?
Well, I prepared a meatloaf this morning. It's in the fridge. Do you like meatloaf?
I love meatloaf.
I make it with oatmeal.
Oh, interesting.
I soak the oatmeal in milk first.
Let's go to your place and have meatloaf.
And I have broccoli.
Oh, wonderful. Come on, let's go.
Funny. This was the first date I'd ever had with a girl that I looked forward to. Not that I'd had so many dates, but the ones I did have never turned out too well. Now, here I was in my own apartment with a girl I'd worked next to for 2 years and never asked to go out with me. Here I was in the only real trouble I'd ever been in, and I was having a wonderful time. Well, the meatloaf will take an hour, so I opened a bottle of wine.
Wonderful.
I don't know if you'll like the broccoli.
Well, of course I will.
Well, I parboil it, and then I saute it in butter and garlic.
Sounds fascinating.
Well, it's different. Here's your wine.
Thank you. I was just looking at your books.
Oh, yeah. Well, I read a lot.
You read a lot of books like
How to Love Yourself, books like that, and be a happy neurotic.
Yeah, well, I've always had trouble in that department.
The loving yourself department?
Well, it's hard for me even to put up with myself.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, cheerio.
Cheerio.
Ah, you see now, like that. Why did I say cheerio?
Why not?
Because cheerio was for English people to say, not people like me. I'm always trying to impress people, and I don't know how, and I hate myself for trying and not succeeding.
Edgar, do you mind very much being short?
Well, I'm not crazy about it.
Well, I'm not crazy about having such icky hair.
Your hair isn't so icky.
And you're not so short.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'6", without heels.
That's 4 inches taller than me.
Well, I never figured it out.
Well, that's what it is.
I guess it's been very hard on you not being taller.
It's been a trauma. You know what a trauma is?
Yes, something that hurts.
Trauma is a shock, a disturbing experience. There was a psychoanalyst, his name was Otto Rank. He said that all the trauma you go through later in life are reproductions of being born. Do you believe that?
Gee, I don't know, Eddie. Do you?
Yeah, sometimes I think I do. Sometimes I think the worst thing that can happen to you is to be born. Here you are inside your mother where it's all warm and safe. And all of a sudden she decides she's had enough of you. She starts to get rid of you.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. And of course there's nothing you can do because you don't even know what's happening. You're pushed out. Out into the cold, into the light, and all the noise and clamor and chaos of living.
Yeah.
And you never get over it. Never.
I think I'd like a little more wine.
Oh, sure. Excuse me.
There must be some way to get over it.
Well, I don't know what it is. So right now, right this very minute, I feel like I'm starting to get over it.
I think I'm getting over it, too.
She liked the meatloaf. And she liked the broccoli. And we had melon for dessert, and she liked that. After dinner, we each had a brandy with our coffee. I was feeling just wonderful. I couldn't stop talking. I tried, but I couldn't stop. It's like a disease with me trying to be something. Because I feel like I'm nothing. Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror just to be sure I'm there. That I haven't evaporated or dissolved or disappeared.
Oh, Eddie.
I want to show you something. You stay right there and I'll get it. I've never shown this to anybody in my whole life. I never thought I would show it to anybody because it's so silly. But I don't know. Tonight I feel like it.
Well, what is it?
Well, you just wait. You see, you just wait. It's so silly. It's... There. What do you think of it?
What is it?
It's a top hat.
What?
A top hat. A high silk hat. It was my grandfather's.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them in the movies. Yeah,
Fred Astaire movies. He made one called Top Hat. He wore a white tie and tails. I used to admire him more than anybody. I still do.
I've seen him on TV.
Well, all I have is the top hat. I never had tails or a white tie. And, of course, I can't dance.
And, of course, you're not Fred Astaire.
No. No, I'm not.
Will you walk me home, Eddie? It's not far.
You have to go home?
Yes.
Well, sure. I'll walk you home. You say you're 5'6"?
Without heels.
You're not scrunching down.
Not what?
Well, you're not trying to be shorter.
Well, why should I? Eddie.
Hmm?
Let's have lunch together tomorrow.
You want to?
I'd love to.
Well, we could go to a restaurant.
Or I could bring a box lunch to work. Enough for both of us.
Would you really like to do that?
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, we could go to the park and eat it.
Yeah, we could do that. We could go to the park or we could go down by the river.
I left her at the door of the place where she lived. I was like in a daze. All I could think of was having lunch with her the next day. In the park or down by the river. I almost ran home and up the stairs. My door was open. I knew I'd locked it, but it was open.
Hello there.
Hello.
Detective Bradshaw. Remember me?
Yeah, from this afternoon, Mr. Tupper's office.
That's right.
You wanted to talk to me?
You had somebody here for dinner.
Mary Lou Grant from the bank. You met her.
Mm-hmm. The one that stood up for you, huh? The one that said you couldn't be the hold-up man because you're too short? 5'1", she said.
That's right. 5'1½".
Mm-hmm. She said the counter at the bank is 4'4", and if the hold-up man was you, your shoulders wouldn't show up on the film, only your head and neck. Now, isn't that what she said?
Yes.
She your girl, this Mary Lou?
Yes. No, she's a friend.
Mm. She know you wear lifts?
What?
Does she know you wear lifts in your shoes? 3-inch lifts?
I don't.
No? Now, what are these? I found them in the bureau.
They're lifts.
Yes. Yes, they are. 3-inch lifts. With these in your shoes, you'd be 5'4½", wouldn't you? Huh? And your shoulders would show above the counter. That's how I figure it, Ellaby. How do you figure it?
Just when the blood has cooled, just when the knots in the stomach have come untied, just when the breathing has slowed down, just as the world has begun to look friendly and life-inviting, just at that very moment, fate can strike a man down with a heavy mallet of fear. I'll be back shortly with the final act of our story.
Moving on with the Allied spirit, going to a brand new town. You're leaving the past miles behind you. With Allied van lines, you're homeward bound. Hello, tomorrow I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the Allied spirit, and it feels like I'm going home.
At Allied van lines, we take a special pride in our work. We treat every move as if it were our first, even though we move more families every year than anybody else. That's because we know there's a little bit of you and your family in everything we move. It's that kind of pride that's made us the world's number one mover. We call it the Allied Spirit. And when it moves you, you know you're going home.
Hello, tomorrow I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day.
Reading is educational. Reading is exciting. Reading is fun. If you can read, you can help teach your child to read. Help your child create his own picture book. Join him or her in cutting out pictures you both like from magazines. Then paste the pictures on sheets of paper. Help arrange the pictures to form pages of different chapters. Some chapters might be called Daddy and Mommy, or Things I Like, or What I Want to Be, or Places I'd Like to Go. More than just being fun, putting the pictures where they belong will be teaching your child to organize and classify information. Listen for other new approach method, Reading Hints to Parents, furnished as a public service announcement by this radio station. For further ways you can help your child, write the New Approach Method Incorporated, Post Office Box 1303, Trenton, New Jersey, 08607.
Edgar Ellerby, who stands 5 feet 1.5 inches, seemed to be cleared of a bank holdup when it was pointed out that a man of that stature could barely see across the teller's counter. After an intimate dinner with his friend and defender, as well as fellow teller Mary Lou Grant, Edgar returned home to be confronted by Detective Bradshaw, who had discovered a pair of 3-inch lifts clearly meant to be inserted in Edgar Ellerby's shoes in order to increase his height. Now it is the following day. Noontime, in fact.
It's nice here by the river.
I brought fried chicken and 3 bean salads. You like 3 bean salads?
Well, I never had any.
Oh, it's very good.
Mary Lou, everything's changed since last night. After I walked you home, after one of the nicest evenings I ever spent.
It was nice, I thought.
Telling you about me wanting to be like Fred Astaire, showing you my top hat. I never wore it, you know. I just kept it, kind of a symbol of an old dream.
Yeah, but what good are old dreams? What good are symbols, especially symbols of old dreams?
Like the lifts.
Lifts? What are lifts?
Things men put in their shoes to make them taller.
Look taller.
When I first met you and I realized that you were 5 feet 5 at least, and I dreamed of taking you out, even dancing with you. I thought if I had 3-inch lifts in my shoes, you wouldn't mind dancing with me. I never wore them. I tried them out around the room, but I kept falling down. I couldn't even walk. How could I possibly dance? So I just put them away.
Well, I think you should throw them out and take me dancing tonight.
I could be in jail tonight. Mary Lou, when I got home last night, Detective Bradshaw was there. He had found the lifts. So now he thinks the holdup man could have been me. You have to admit, the man on the film looked exactly like me.
No, he didn't have your expression.
Well, I imagine your expression changes when you're holding up a bank.
You had enough to eat?
I wasn't very hungry.
All right, well, why don't you pick up the trash and throw it in that trash basket, and I think I'll just walk out on the pier and take one last look at the river.
I started putting the chicken away and the 3-bean salad. I felt so bad. I looked at Mary Lou standing at the end of the pier. She was so slim, so graceful, so pretty, and so tall. Still, she'd asked me to take her dancing. Was it possible she didn't mind being 4 inches taller than me? That I didn't have to mind being 4 inches shorter? I picked up the trash and threw it in the basket, and Mary Lou and I went back to the bank.
The late lunch people are thinning out.
Yeah. Oh, there you are, madame.
Thank you.
Next? Yes? Oh.
Everything you've got. Hand it over.
What?
All of it. This ain't a cap pistol.
Well, what are you...
You all right, Eddie?
It's happened.
You look funny.
Quit stalling, Ellerby.
Eddie?
I don't know what came over me. It didn't feel like me at all. I didn't think what I should do or what would happen if I did it. I just stared into the face of what was exactly like mine and heard the voice like mine. I didn't think about doing anything, about giving up the money or not giving up the money. I didn't think at all.
Eddie!
You are... What I did, I jumped across the counter. Now, I don't know how I did it, but I leaped across that counter. Maybe I flew across it. I don't know, but my hands went right for that throat.
Oh!
We struggled on the floor for a few seconds. Then he got away from me and ran out of the bank.
What's happening?
I ran after him.
He ran fast. I ran faster. I'd never known I could run so fast. We were right into the street.
What's up? Hey, what's up?
The thief!
You said thief?
Held up the bank!
Where's the police?
They're headed for the river.
Yes, we were headed for the river. I was gaining on him. I thought to myself, maybe he's got lips in his shoes. That's why he can't run so fast. More people on the street stopped. Their mouths dropped open. A few of them ran along with me.
Get him!
I'll call a cop. Do that, lady.
Adrenaline must have been pouring into my veins a barrel a minute. My legs moved like pistons. My short little legs I'd always thought were so useless. I kept my eyes on the man I was chasing. My double. My doppelganger. Or was he a ghost? Whatever, whichever, whatever. He was responsible for the sudden change in my life. And it flashed like lightning across my mind, the sudden change in me. We ran and we ran and we came to the river. He ran out onto a pier and I ran after him. He reached the end of the pier. He stopped for a second. I was almost on top of him. Then I heard a splash and he disappeared. I dove after him. Under the water, I opened my eyes. I was desperate to get a look at this imposter. He was starting to seem to me. I was so anxious to see him, I forgot I couldn't swim. But then a pair of strong arms were on my neck. And gently through the water, I heard a familiar voice.
Good luck. Don't fight me. Just go limp. That's it, White. Just let your head fall back. Okay. I've got you.
It was Detective Bradshaw. He told me to shore and up on the bank. I was so surprised to see him and so happy. I tried to thank him, but he wouldn't listen.
I'll be around later, Ellerby. Now, the police car is going to drive you home. You just take a hot bath, crawl into bed. Try to relax, little fella. You done good.
I didn't mind that little fellow bit. I liked him saying, "You done good." 6'6" or 5'1", what's the difference when somebody says, "You done good"? I went home and took a hot bath and laid down on the bed and thought, what a nice feeling, not to be afraid anymore. Not really because I'd run after the bank robber, but more because I'd found out that I'd had it in me to do something like that. I thought about it till I fell asleep. A couple of hours later, the phone rang. Hello?
Hey, Mr. Tupper here, Ellerby. Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine, Mr. Tupper.
I wonder if you'd mind coming down to the bank.
What? Oh, did they find the robber?
No, not yet. They're dragging the river.
Oh, maybe he swam to the other side.
Well, nobody saw him do it.
Well, maybe he swam down river.
Well, the current's pretty strong there. I don't think he'd make it.
Oh, maybe he got washed out to sea.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see you at the bank, Ellerby, about half an hour.
I'll be there, Mr. Tupper. When I got to the bank, Mr. Tupper met me and showed me into his office. It was just like before. Gilda was there, and Mary Lou, and Detective Bradshaw. And the projector was set up in the screen, and Detective Bradshaw was talking.
Now, watch this carefully, please. I have a chair, Ellerby. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Now, I'm going to run the film from the monitor as of 1:56 this afternoon. Mr. Tupper, if you'll turn off the lights. Now.
That's Mr. Potter. He made a deposit. That's Mrs. Connor. She cashed a check, $50. Well, here's where the man... Right here. Wait, stop. Where is he?
Want me to go back?
Please.
Here we go.
Mr. Potter. Mrs. Connors.
Then nobody. I see somebody.
There you go, Ellerby. I crossed the counter.
But there was somebody.
Want me to run it again?
Look, there was somebody. Why would I jump over the counter if there wasn't anybody there?
You didn't see anybody on the film, did you?
No, but I...
I did. I saw somebody. Now, Hilda.
I did.
Nobody else did.
Not everybody has the power to see ghosts.
Just what did you see on the film, Hilda?
I saw Mr. Ellerby. Only a little taller. I saw Mr. Ellerby's double.
We don't believe in ghosts at this bank, and I don't imagine the police believe in them either.
Then who, what did I trace down the street? What or who dove into the river?
Well, we haven't found a body. I have my doubts we ever will. It's funny, though. We did find something.
A clue? You found a clue?
No. Nothing like that. We found a high silk hat. What they used to call a top hat. You remember them? Now, why would anybody throw a top hat in the river? Why would anybody even own a top hat?
Mary Lou and I left together. We wandered down to the river where we'd had lunch just a few hours before. There was the pier where I'd run after what I thought was a bank robber. Where I'd seen him jump in, I'd heard the splash. Where I jumped in after him.
How do you feel, Eddie?
Oh, all right, I guess.
Let's sit down, shall we?
Imagine this is where it all happened, or didn't happen.
Oh, it happened, all right.
What happened? Did I have a hallucination? What was it?
Oh, maybe.
Did I make up the whole thing? Was I just showing off or what?
Does that matter?
It does to me.
Why can't you look at it this way? You thought you saw a bank robber that looked like you, except that he was 3 inches taller. Or if Hilda is right, you did see him. You saw your double, your doppelganger. But whichever it was, you didn't fold up or fall over in a faint or even yell for help. You jumped across the counter and you tackled him. And then you chased him out of the bank and down the street. You jumped in the river after him when you can't even swim.
Yeah, I did that.
Well, do you think that a man who goes out in the dark after a burglar without a gun and all alone is any less brave because there was no robber there in the first place? He thought there was, and he went anyway. Well, I think that's very brave.
You do?
I most certainly do.
We've never been what you'd call really close, Mary Lou.
I've always felt close to you, Eddie. You just haven't felt close to me.
I wanted to.
Nah. You wanted to be Fred Astaire, and I wasn't Ginger Rogers.
You're prettier than Ginger Rogers.
Well, I'm one thing Ginger Rogers isn't. I'm here.
Yeah.
You still want to be Fred Astaire and wear a top hat?
I think I'll throw it away, my top hat.
I already did.
You did? What?
That's your top hat they found floating in the river. I stole it last night when we had our dinner, and I threw it in the river this noon when you were packing up the lunch.
Mary Lou, why did you do that?
I thought you didn't really need it anymore. I thought it was high time you stopped wanting to be Fred Astaire, because I knew that I could never be Ginger Rogers. And now we're just you and me.
Oh, it's better this way.
Yeah. I think it's perfect. What's so funny? Why?
What are you doing tonight?
Nothing. Why?
Well, let's you and me go dancing.
Fear means paralysis. Fear means the inability to act. Fear means being stopped in your tracks. Fear means being helpless as an infant. Fear is the enemy of life. Yet, as we have seen in the case of Edgar Ellerby, the paralysis can be broken. The ability to act can be restored. We can overcome helplessness and move in our tracks. So the real enemy is not fear itself, only the fear of fear. I'll be back shortly.
If I could leave one thing with you when I'd leave this earth behind, I'd like to leave a bright blue sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children I'd bequeath, a life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe. Yes, this is my legacy, this is my prayer. Most of all, I'd leave you all with a breath of your precious.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
In the world today to fill us with fear. We'd be fools not to feel fear, yet we must move, must act, must overcome paralysis and stop acting like children. So with fear in our hearts, let us be courageous. Haunted by dread, let us dare to look around the corner, see what's there, and whatever it is, deal with it the best we can. For all we know, it may be a ghost. A ghost as frightened as we are. Our cast included Jack Grimes, Marion Seldes, Jane White, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
But how are you going to stop it?
Dump it overboard.
Oh, you can't do that.
Who says so?
It's against the law. And we have no right to break the law.
Yeah, that's how cowards talk.
You men, you all know me. Listen, the law was what all of us were fighting to uphold all the time we were in the war.
It's not our law.
This petroleum, who knows anything about it? How much there is? Now, we know whale oil's better. We know people have to come to their senses sooner or later.
Are you Forrest or Guinness?
I'm going back to town.
All right, Noah, go ahead. Crawl back to town on your belly. Beg somebody for a job. Plead on bended knee. We don't need you here. This is a place for men.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
XI, Seattle. CBS News. Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter have fashioned primary election victories in Texas, exceeding the expectations of their strategists and stunning their opponents. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Democrats in significant numbers crossed over party lines to help Reagan stage his most impressive primary showing of the campaign to date. With 65% of the precincts counted now, Reagan candidates lead in all contests for 96 seats at the Republican National Convention. That leaves none for President Ford from Texas. In addition, if the trend holds, Reagan should get 4 at-large candidates, giving his conservative cause new credibility and a fresh momentum going into the Tuesday quadruple primary day with contests in Alabama, the District of Columbia, Georgia, and Indiana. Reagan, in Indianapolis, declined to answer questions from reporters, contenting himself to an expression of thanks to Texas supporters, then adding emotionally, "I just simply have to say we've waited so long for this one and talked so long about it." Reagan National Campaign Manager John Sears was more analytical.
Mr. Carter has demonstrated in the Democratic Party, and our own polls have shown is true in the Republican Party as well, that the overwhelming majority of the American people today really are demanding some change in the way we do our business in Washington. That has accounted for a large share of how well we've done in earlier primaries in the Republican Party against an incumbent. And I think a large measure of Mr. Carter's success has been based on the same thing in the Democratic Party. So I think that had a lot to do with the results in Texas as well.
While the Reagan camp was savoring victory, President Ford avoided substantive remarks about the primary while attending a correspondence dinner in Washington, then retired to the White House with aides to receive the primary returns. On the Democratic side in Texas, with more than 70% of the precincts now counted, Jimmy Carter leads for 91 convention seats. Favorite son Lloyd Benson, who handily won renomination as a senatorial candidate, leads for 7. Carter was in Charlotte, North Carolina. He said he was real pleased with the outcome, but stopped short of saying it clinched the Democratic nomination for him. More news following this.
This is Telly Savalas. To win a fight, any fight, you got to be tough. And that's the way it's got to be in the fight against cancer. Your American Cancer Society says there are 7 warning signals, like a sore that doesn't heal, or an obvious change in a wart or mole. You see one of them, you don't say to yourself, it'll go away. You face it. You see your doctor for a checkup. Cancer is one of the most curable of all major diseases if you catch it in time. So why not? Only a fool gives the enemy a chance. And that's the way we have to fight cancer all down the line. In every one of your American Cancer Society's anti-cancer programs, research, education, patient rehabilitation, and service. And that takes money. Without money, we lose. And I'm sure you have a pretty good idea of what we lose. We got to be tough on cancer if we're going to wipe it out in your lifetime. Give generously. When your American Cancer Society volunteer calls on you.
In the Louisiana primary, with just over half the votes tabulated, Alabama Governor George Wallace has moved to the front of the pack with 13 delegates leading for seats to the Democratic National Convention. Uncommitted delegates led by Governor Edwin Edwards apparently have won 6 seats and are leading for 4 more, while Carter delegates apparently have won 8 races and are leading in 1 other. U.S. Special Envoy L. Dean Brown returned to Beirut Saturday night to continue his assessment of the Lebanese crisis on behalf of President Ford. Now this.
This is John Cameron Swayze with the 2020 Eye Drops Report. Item, consumers are demanding more of the products they purchase these days, especially health products. Among other things, they look for a solid guarantee. Item, 2020 Eye Drops are the only eye drops to guarantee complete satisfaction, or your money will be refunded by simply returning the bottle. And if that's news to you, this is John Cameron Swayze reminding you to read the label and try 2020 Eye Drops, the guaranteed solution.
Hey, you kids. You go play somewhere else now.
Who am I kidding? Where are those kids going to find a place to stay out of trouble around here?
Tough problems call for real solutions, not just talk. If your community has a problem, you need action. Action is skilled volunteers of all ages working together to help solve tough community problems. Write Action, Department Q, Washington, D.C., 20525. Between us, there's got to be a solution.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
A Canadian says he was the real Good Samaritan in the episode in the Nevada desert that led to a Utah gasoline station owner, Melvin Dumar, being named in a purported Howard Hughes will to receive perhaps $125 million. Dumar gave Hughes a quarter. James Giltner of Edmonton, Alberta, says Dumar talked him out of giving Hughes $20.
I was the one that had him stop and pick him out of the ditch because I seen this guy laying in the ditch, eh? And it was a little dark, it was getting a little dark at night, eh? So I felt that I seen this person laying on the side of the road, and I thought maybe we should help him or find out what was the matter or get the police or something. So we decided to see what was there, and this guy was alive, and he was bleeding from the head and from the face, and so we picked him up and put him in the vehicle and headed for Las Vegas with him.
Giltner says he responded when an ad appeared about a year ago asking for the names of the men who rescued Hughes, but he was not named in the will. Silly says he won't make a claim against the estate unless Dumar verifies his story. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
Bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.